In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We've talked about how God is the author of the outline of our stories. We've talked about how the chapters in our book are sometimes written by us, sometimes written by God, and sometimes written by God with us. We've talked about how part of our story as faithful people is to share the story of God and to spread the gospel. Today, I tell you a story about family. My grandma was the oldest of four. And there was Wilma, and then Willis, and then Edgar and Betty. Willis was named after his father, whose name was Willis Parker, except for my great-grandmother, the same one who did Snap and Point. My great-grandmother did not want him to be Junior, so Uncle Paul's name was Willis Paul. Great-grandpa went by Willis P. Uncle Paul went by W. Paul. He used to introduce himself as, "Hi, I'm Paul Harvey." Not that one. Growing up with a great uncle whose name was Paul Harvey meant you heard all kinds of stories, and more than once, Uncle Paul would finish up one of his tall tales with, "And that's the rest of the story." So today we have the rest of the story, and the point here today is that it doesn't matter what you've written in chapters 1 through 33, because that informs your past. God has the power to change where you're going. Now, I could sit down and say amen, and we could sing the next hymn, but that wouldn't be very nice. Our scripture reading this morning is the woman at the well. And as we know, Samaritans and Jews do not get along. How many times do we hear about the Samaritan who does the opposite thing, like the good Samaritan? That's a juxtaposition, because if you are a traditionally Jewish storyteller, it's a priest, a rabbi, and, you know, that kind of thing. But it's not a Samaritan, and the Samaritan's not the typical third. Samaritans and Jews do not get along, historically. They believe in the same God, they worship the same God. I mean, my goodness, it's Jacob's well. They're in the land given to Joseph. This is Joseph with his coat of many colors, right? They believe the same thing, they just go about it differently. And because they go about it differently, they don't get along. Does that sound familiar? Okay. So Jesus happens upon this woman at the well, and he says to her, "Give me some water to drink." He's been traveling, it's hot, it's the desert, and he says to her, "Give me something to drink." First of all, we have a problem that men did not talk to women back then. And second of all, we have a problem that Jews did not talk to Samaritans. But here's Jesus asking this lovely woman, "Give me something to drink." And she says, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" In one of those, "Are you lost? Did you forget that we don't get along?" And he goes on and he tells her about the, you know, the eternal life, the water of eternal life, and all this good stuff. And she says to him, he says, "Well, give me some of that water. I'm tired of lugging this jug. I'm tired of pulling water from this centuries-old well. Boy, it'd be a whole lot easier if I could get some of that water to feed these thirsty people that I'm hanging out with, and then that'd be so much easier." And then Jesus, in a play of divine omniscience, divine knowing everything. Says, yeah, go get your husband. She goes, I don't have a husband. Yep, you're right. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. You spoke the truth, kind of. He laid before her her whole history, which points out a very good point for us today, and it says, God knows who we are and where we've been. You cannot hide from the creator of the universe. You cannot hide your deepest, darkest secrets, your scariest blemishes on your soul. You cannot hide from the one who created you and died and rose to save you from your sins and who inspires you daily. You can't do it. Plenty of people have tried. It doesn't work. But it's not just that he pointed out her past. It's not just that he said, you're a woman with a past, and I know your past, even though you're trying to hide it from me. It's not just that. The story doesn't end there. He continues and tells her who he is. And she is sent out, and she does what we are called to do. She says, come and see the one who is the Christ. For I have seen him. Could he truly be the one we're waiting for? Could it be that he's already here? Her tune changed. No more the woman who was indignant saying, who are you to ask me for a drink of water? Who do you think you are? To, could it be that he's who he says it is? Could it be that he's the one we've waited for? Could it be the one that we've been foretold is coming? And I love this part. I love this. And it says, just then Jesus' disciples arrived and were shocked that he was talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? These are the 12 guys who consistently were just a little off of where they were supposed to be. You kids quit bothering Jesus. What, Jesus, I don't just wash my feet, but my whole self. Well, some say that you're Moses, and some say you're Elijah, but I think you're God, but, you know, I don't know anything. Constantly, these are the 12 guys who get it wrong. Not completely wrong. They were almost there, but always just one tick off. This time they got it. This time they knew well enough to go, I'm biting my tongue. I'm not saying a word because something special's going on here. And what it was is this. He changed her story. Yeah, you have a past. And yeah, your past informs how you look at the world and where you've been and what your story is. But your past is in the past. You can't move forward very well looking like this and moving backwards. You face forward. You keep moving forward. God's not rewriting your history. It is what it is. It's in the past. What he invites us to do is to continue to walk toward him. What he invites us to do is to continue to walk toward where he's calling us to go. What he's calling us to do and inviting us to do is to find that path, whether your thread through your life is red or purple or gold or silver or plaid. I don't care. It's there. He's asking you to find it and stay on it and walk with him instead of worrying about what was back there. Yes, it's true that God has an outline. Yes, it's true that we write our story with our Lord and Savior. And yes, it's true that part of our story is to tell his story. But above all the rest of that, it is true that what happened back there is not in the driver's seat. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the goal. And trust and believe and hold on to the truth, even when it's terrible. Even when everything's going right to pot, when it's just piled higher and deeper and you can't do it anymore, you remember there's that line there. Stay on it because you're going forward. Don't move back. We are not called to be backward people. We're called to move forward. We're called to remember that from this point forward, from right this second forward, God is still merciful. God is still full of grace. God still loves you with the deepest love anybody ever could. Back there informs how you look at the world. Up there informs how you live in it. Back there informs where you've been and the battle scars you wear to say, yep, I've seen life even right from the bottom of the pit. But you don't get out of a bottom of the pit looking down. You gotta look up. You don't get out of a cave looking back. You gotta look toward the exit. You have to trust that God's there the whole step of the way. You have to believe that it can be different. That just because the leaves and pages of your book in the past, from the page you are on right this minute to the front cover, they may be blotted. They may be gray sheets of paper. They may be starting to fade a little bit. It's the sheets going forward that mean the most. You can't do anything to change what's back behind you. You can't do a darn thing to change your past, except for to leave it there. Your job's to look forward. Your job's to take God's hand and walk forward. Finish writing your story. Quit trying to edit the past. It don't work anyway. What you do with the rest of your story? What you do walking hand in hand with God? It's the only thing you can worry about at this point. The past is the past. Leave it there. The future is in front of you. That's what you have to focus on. And when you're walking that way, look for your colored line, because that's where God is. Holding you right there, saying, I got you. I love you dearly. I'm in charge of your story. I invite you to write it with me, but it's so much better when we do it together. Hold on to that. Be lifted up by that. Find the truth there. Every last one of us has a past. Every last person in this room has a past. Don't let it ruin your future. And that's the rest of the story. Amen.